Angela, you were fantastic. And I'm really grateful because you did the bit of Acts 14 that I'm going to miss out. So that's teamwork. I love it. My brief this morning, everybody, is to do a quick recap of where we got to in Acts and to take us on into Acts 14. And actually, I think the recap is almost more exciting than Acts 14. So there we go. We've had a summer break to explore gold, which is our the values that River Church seeks to live by, the goodness of God, the openness of God, the love of God, and the dynamic power of God, going for gold, which tied in really nicely with the summer's Olympics. But now we're going back to Acts. We've been doing a journey through Acts, looking at the early church and seeing how they lived now that they had encountered the living God through Jesus. And we see them bringing heaven to earth. And every time I speak on Acts, I'm going to put this PowerPoint up. And this is our mandate too, bringing heaven to earth. In Acts 1, we see Jesus speak to the disciples and tell them what their role is from now on. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And that's what we see happening during Acts. In Acts 1 to 8, we've seen Peter and the disciples taking the good news of new life in Jesus to Jerusalem. In Acts 8 to 12, we see Peter, with the help of Philip, taking that message on to Judea and Samaria. And when we get to Acts 13, the baton is passed to Paul, who's had a dramatic conversion, and he goes to the ends of the earth. And we are part of that journey. And that journey has been a truly supernatural journey through Acts. It began with the risen Jesus and him ascending into heaven. That's quite supernatural, I think. Then we had powerful baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. We see 3,000 people in Jerusalem saved in one go, and multitudes more as we go on through Acts. We see a specific healing of a lame man. We see... Very good, very good, like it, Mark. You're on the ball this morning. Yeah, I'll move on. Bold speeches, signs and wonders. We see many healings. We even see Peter's shadow healing people. How awesome is that? We see angels. We see two amazing prison breaks. We see the conversion of Saul, the persecutor and hater of the church. And for all of us who have people who seem so far from the Lord, that story is a miraculous and prophetic encouragement. God can reach anyone with his love. Raising from the dead, we see visions, and so on and so on. This is the normal Christian life. This isn't just what happened in Acts and happens to special people. This was happening in the whole early church, and it's the normal Christian life. Yeah. Do you know, we've settled for less. The enemy has lied to us and made us believe that we have to live a mediocre human life. But we are supernatural beings. We don't do the supernatural on a good day when we've prayed and fasted a lot. We are supernatural. John 3:6 tells us that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that when we give our lives to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into us, we are new creations. We are spirit beings first and foremost. And we are children of God. 1 John says, behold, what an incredible quality of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. So if we are children, we have our daddy's DNA. And our daddy is God, and he is spirit. So, in 1 John 5 it says, whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And it goes on. You are of God, little children, and he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We are of God. Isn't it cute? Not one of mine. A baby does not base its future on its past. Okay? If Kayla based her future on her past, she wouldn't walk and she wouldn't talk because she never has done. Kayla bases her future on Dave and Laura's DNA. Dave can walk. Bless her poor child. As a family, we are praying for her, Dave. But the good news, Dave, about your DNA is you can walk and talk. So, Kayla bases her future on her father's DNA, who can walk and who can talk. So she will grow into that way of living with maturity and practice. Isn't that cool? Our destiny in God as supernatural beings isn't based on where we've been in the past. It is based on our identity as children of God. Okay? And he's spirit and we're spirit. He's supernatural and we're supernatural. So we can live the supernatural life as spirit beings. Ours is the journey of a spirit living in a natural human body that is learning to see, hear, and access the spirit realm. And we need to allow our spirits to tutor our brains. God's really been talking to me about that. My brain is this logical thing that sees things in a certain way. The spirit sees differently. And I need to let my brain begin to hear my spirit and not damp it down. So in Sanctuary yesterday, I had my hand on Rachel Smith as we were praying at the beginning of the meeting. I was just praying quietly, Holy Spirit, come on her. And a cold draft came down our backs. Now, my logical brain could have gone, somebody left the door open out there and bye, it's cold. But my spirit went, yes, Lord, that's you coming. And it's allowing our spirits to tutor our brains and to see in the spirit realm. It is a journey. It is a journey. And one I've been going, which I would just really recommend this book to you, Living from the Unseen by Wendy Backlund, Reflections of a Transformed Life. I found it really helpful in changing the way I see my identity. And I just want to read the first paragraph to you, the foreword. This is her husband speaking. There is nobody I respect more than my wife, Wendy. She is an incredible woman who has had a radical transformation in her life that is revealed in this book. I have seen firsthand the effect of the encounters and revelations upon her that she shares about in this book. Her supernatural experiences with God's love, God's word, and the Holy Spirit have changed her before my very eyes. It is truly astounding what has happened to her. I want that. I want that. And I just really want to be somebody who lives a truly supernatural life. And I have some declarations. You know me, I like my declarations. I love being able to declare out what is true and let that word frame my future. And I've got some declarations I've been saying. The invisible realm is more real to me than the spiritual realm. I'll start that again. The invisible realm is more real to me than the visible realm. Amen. Angels are with me at all times to minister to me, to strengthen me, and to assist me. I consistently release the supernatural to others by faith. I am relentless in my pursuit of pursuing the supernatural and releasing it. I will not take no for an answer. I will not let apparent failure stop me. So I tramp around my house saying those as part of a journey, as that baby, into walking into the maturity of the DNA that is within me as a spirit being. Okay, so I told you that bit was quite good. That was the recap. And here we are, Acts 14. Okay, I've called this going on a journey, and that's indeed what it is. It's Paul's first missionary journey to the end of the earth. And I feel like a real preacher this morning because I have a map. I have a map. I feel very, it's good, isn't it? And I got a bit confused by this map. I thought it was wrong because there were two Antiochs. But anyway, it's not. It's good. It's good. This is his journey. And I just wonder what your most memorable journey is and why. We've all got them. Anybody got really memorable journeys? A lot of mine revolve around children and travel sickness. They are disgusting. I won't share any of them. Another one of them is an 11-hour bus journey from Kathmandu to Jiri that should have taken 6 hours in an inadequate vehicle stuffed with English people and Nepalese with plastic garden chairs. And had it not been for the lovely Lindsay Lilly feeding me travel sickness pills, jelly sweets, I don't think I'd have made it. And the worst thing was getting there. We had to get back again. Hideous. Now, it really was. It was terrible. And there were all these bright young things. It was the big year. They were all just chatting for 11 hours. I was just like, oh. Anyway, moving on from that. Don't go on a journey with me. I'm miserable. Paul's journey in Acts 14 is a really memorable journey for him. And I'm just going to read the passage now and you will see why. I'm going to miss out the bit about the gods. Angela did that for me. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. Wow. How fantastic is that? But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Would I have stayed if that was happening? I don't know, but they did. Speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made on them by both Gentiles and Jews to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it. And then they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonium, to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, or maybe a lame man who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped up and walked. Yes, that would be good. Now, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. Good miracle. Don't know whether he was dead or just severely beaten, but that's a miracle going on there. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they preached the gospel that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. And after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When they preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. No idea if I'm saying it right. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all God had done with them. The power of testimony. They reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time. So Paul's journey is really memorable. Boldness in proclaiming the gospel. People saved. And it's not just there. Can I slip this in? I heard something. Do you know that Reinhard Bonnke, the German evangelist whose vision is to reach Africa for the Lord, who's worked there for 30 or 40 years doing mass evangelism crusades, since in the last 25 years when they began counting the decision cards. 71 million Africans have given their lives to Jesus. 71 million! That is the power of the gospel. And we're afraid of it somehow in our culture, aren't we? We're afraid to say it in case it's a bit. But there's such power in the gospel. Such power. So Paul sees people saved. He sees healing. He has that funny bit of divine favour or people favour. He strengthens souls. He establishes believers. He establishes churches. And he overcomes opposition. And I want that to reflect my life. I want to be able to say, yeah, I did some of that. I would like to be commended to the grace of God for the work which I have completed. So, if we're going on a journey, what do we take with us? This is pretty much what it's like in our house. It was this summer, for sure. Rachel and I are there going, oh no, what are the kilograms? They put the suitcase on the luggage thing. Paul took with him joy in the Holy Spirit. Just before we get to Acts 14, it says the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. He wasn't too bothered about his hat, his sun cream and his bite cream, which are immensely important to me. Lindsay knows that when I went to Nepal. Yes, can't go anywhere without them. He took the Holy Spirit with him. And the Lord's been talking to me about receiving the Holy Spirit recently. I am desperate for more of God, for more of the Holy Spirit. Desperate for it. And sometimes we can feel because we don't feel it, we're not getting it. But you know, Matthew 11 says this. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, gee thanks, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You are decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? You see those pictures of starving children on the television? How would you refuse them food? We just wouldn't, would we? We have it in our hands and we would not refuse them. They will die without it. The Bible is true. What it says is true and can be relied on. God will give the Holy Spirit when we ask. And we need him. We need him to live a supernatural life. So when we ask, whether we feel it or not, we receive the Holy Spirit. And I've just been doing that. I've just been saying, thank you, Lord. I just ask you now and I just receive it. That is great. And actually, the more you do that, the more you do begin to feel that you have. And you know, we so need the Holy Spirit for the journeys in life that we do. And I just want to take a moment now just to receive the Holy Spirit. Because he's here. And he wants to be asked. So let's just take a moment. Yes, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we just ask you for more of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just receive. It's good. Thank you, Lord. Drink him in. Breathe him in. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Jesus. Amen. Oh man, keep drinking him in as we go on. Ooh, something's fun. Oh, here we go. Journey. What does journey mean? Well, if the dictionary tells us it's moving from one place to another, especially a long distance, like Kathmandu to Jiri. Lindsay, I was just telling them about that. In the Old Testament, there are two words for journey. One is this, road as trodden, a course of life. It just implies you're just kind of jogging along, going on the road, following it along. Or there's this one, to pull up your tent pegs, to march, to go on. That's what Abraham did. It's a purposeful journey through life. And the Old Testament talks about it, New Testament, a road, progress, moving on. And I really want my journey through this life to be purposeful, pulling up my tent pegs, progressing in life with God in a supernatural way, not just ambling along, being comfortable and not expectant, with my faith just there as a bit of a kind of a thing I do. I love this scripture, Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it in pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods shall be seen. Pilgrimage means life viewed as a journey. And look at the effect of someone rooted in God, the man whose strength is in you, who goes on a journey with God, a pilgrimage. The bad and the sad places become places of refreshment. But more than that, the God of gods shall be seen. The Message puts it a different way. How blessed are all those in whom you live, whose lives become the roads you travel. God traveled these roads, curve up the mountain and at the last turn, God in full view. God wants us and he needs us to journey. He wants us to find him, to journey into him and live in the depths of his intimacy, not skimming the surface. And the supernatural life that we've been talking about comes out of a life of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's been talking to me about developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, giving him time, being aware of him during the day, spending time in the Word of God regularly to develop that relationship with him. We can't live without it. But he also wants us to journey, so he can go with us and flow out of us to those around us. That bit about our lives become the roads he travels. You know, guys, we need to live this normal supernatural Christian life because the world is waiting for it and needs it from us. Who else is going to show them what it means to live as full human beings, born again, knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as Father, living in peace and joy? Who else is going to bring that than us as we demonstrate it? Who else are going to be gateways for God to enter this world? I was talking with Colin and he was just saying, and I just agreed so much with it because it's one of my favourite scriptures. He was talking about how the good news is about us being gateways for God to come in and change the world. And I love Psalm 24 where it says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. You know, we need to lift up our heads and know and believe and have confidence in who we are in this world as his children and let him flow in through the open gates and open doors that we are. What God wants us to do is travel hand in hand with him in really deep intimacy. Let's let our lives be supernatural lives like Paul's. People who exhibit the supernatural in all ways. Not for show, but because that's who we are. Many years ago, I was given a prophetic word. It came at a time of life which was really difficult for us. It was many years ago, and our first son had just died. And we were in a really desperate place. And somebody came and gave us a prophetic word about boats in a harbour. And what he said was, you're being a boat in a harbour. And it's nice in the harbour and it's safe. But you know what? You weren't made for the harbour. You were made for the high seas. You were made to travel with a crew. And you were made not alone, but in a flotilla. And over the years, that word has been true in many ways for us, for Jonathan and I, but it's never more true than now. You know, and as a congregation, we could be in the harbour. It's nice and it's safe. Yeah, it's good in there. There is actually a funny boat, that black one. but's having a bit of a crisis. But I know, well, that's true too, isn't it? We need to leave room for those who have crises. However, we could be like that, couldn't we? Just lined up. It's nice in the harbour. We're all neat in our harbour on a Sunday having a lovely time. We're accessible, a little boring, but uniform, or we can set out on the high seas together. In the safety of being a family, because guys, we are a family together. And it's exhilarating to be able to do that. Why would we opt for boring harbour when God has so much that he wants to do through us? We are truly remarkable beings, every single one of us. Remarkable, every one of us. You are not determined by your past. You're determined by the DNA of your father, and you are glory-carrying sons and daughters. So I just want to finish with a challenge, really, for all of us today. Will you decide to journey more today with God? To not go on that journey, which is that trodden, ordinary course of life, but to pull up your tent pegs and press on after God. And it might all just seem too much. It's just like too far to go from where I am. But actually, I found this, which is so true. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And I just want to challenge you to do the single step today. We can't afford not to. There absolutely has to be more of God for us. For us as a congregation, for us individually, for this place that we live in. I just want to give an opportunity for you to respond to that. I don't know whether there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, who I've been talking and you're like, well, that all sounds really great, but I don't know that. I'm not in that life. And you don't know that actually you are in the kingdom of God, in right standing with him, forgiven, loved, where you can live in peace and joy and this supernatural life. Or you may feel you're like that lame man who was paralyzed. You've not been moving and you want to get up and walk. That's there for us today. Abraham pulled up his tent pegs. Look at the destiny Abraham inherited. He's known as the father of nations and the father of faith because he pulled up his tent pegs and he was prepared to journey with God. So I'd just like us to pray. I'd just like you to close your eyes and to bow your heads. And I'd just like to say, Holy Spirit, will you come again? Come afresh. Blow over us, Holy Spirit. Let him talk to you now. I don't know if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus. And if everybody's got their eyes closed and their heads bowed, if you this morning want to embark on that journey, that exhilarating journey with the Lord into knowing Jesus as a first off, would you just raise your head and look at me? I don't know if there's anybody here today. Just catch my eye if that's so. Fantastic, thank you. Is there anybody else? That's brilliant. The Lord really, really wants today to be a day where you meet him. It is so easy. And what we're going to do, congregation, is we're going to pray, and I'd like you to pray too, this prayer. And that's it. Okay, so let's pray together and support the people who are giving their lives to the Lord this morning. Lord Jesus, how we love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that coming into your kingdom is so easy. We just believe in you and repent of all our sin. And Jesus, you wash us clean. And fill us with your love and your hope. Take my life today, Jesus. Let it be a new start for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And that's it. And we just say welcome. Welcome into the family of God. Welcome into the kingdom of God. It's the day to celebrate. Yay! Woo! And I would love to chat with you afterwards. So if that was you, come and have a word with me at the end. That would be fantastic. Now, everyone else, I haven't finished with you. If you this morning would like to pull up your tent pegs and think, you know what? I'm going to go for this. It could be the millionth time you've done this. But Lord, I just feel a fresh move in me this morning. I want to do that. Will you just raise your hand? If there's anybody here who wants to do that? Okay, guys. Fantastic. Do you guys want to stand for me? Is that all right? Who have I got? I want to see how many I've got. Okay. I'll tell you what. I've got something prophetic for you guys. Sometimes it's good to have something prophetic. I've got some tent pegs here. So I'm going to pray for you. And what I'd love you to do at the end is come and get a tent peg and stick it somewhere. Not painful. As a prophetic sign, actually, Lord, today I heard that word from you and I'm going to move on and I'm going to keep pulling up tent pegs and moving on. Every time the enemy says, get back in your harbour, batten down, I'm going to pull up my tent pegs and I'm going to go on. So there's one here for you. So I want to read something over you, just quickly, from Psalm 107. Is this prophetic over you guys? Okay, so I just really want you to receive this. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Okay, that might be slightly dramatic, but where you are, okay, wandering. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Pulling up your tent pegs. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with gladness. So, Father God, I thank you this morning for these guys whose heart is saying, Lord, I want more. Lord, I want to journey more. Thank you, Lord, that you take us as we pull up our tent pegs and you take us on that journey. So, Father, I just want to pray blessing. I want to pray encouragement, Father God. I want to release over you guys the prophetic word that he will satisfy your longing soul. He will fill your hungry soul with goodness. Yeah, amen. Amen. Guys, let's journey. Let's journey. He's so good. He's so good. He has so much for us. Let's journey together.